Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on. Thought it was Yahweh. He took me from the dark, put him in my heart. So Yahweh, got my mind Yahweh. Show me the times and the laws, the flaws of myself. Yahweh, let me know to turn to him. Only glory Yahweh. Never bragging anything unless it be Yahweh. He the Most High, he my King, he my Lawgiver, he my Savior, and I'm only praising Yahweh. Told me that my name was Isha, that's man of Yahweh. All fire of Yahweh, whatever it be, you know I rep Yahweh. On my wrist, what does it say? It say praise Yahweh. Y'all can walk another way if you want to, but I'm walking this way. I'm a Israel crew, full life, ride with my homies that be with Yahweh. Only companions, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah, what's good? Yahweh, what's poppin'? Yahweh, what's up? Yahweh, what's crackin'? Yahweh, on my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, JC, never mentioned by Yahweh. Nowhere in the holy scriptures do you see Yahweh. Mixing this catch you call Yahoshua, Yahawashah, Yahoah, whatever y'all calling him, it ain't Yahweh. Quran never spoke about the man Yahweh. I mean the name Yahweh, the Holy One Yahweh. Not a man that he shall lie, or the son of man that he shall repent. And y'all think he said somebody that could get killed? What you talking? Yahweh died, man. Come on, man. You thinking that Yahweh lied, man? You frontin' now. If you just open the scriptures, you'll see it right there in Isaiah 34 and 16. Yahweh only got one book, so let's look in it. Don't get too shook, minister, reverend, pastor, whoever you are, you spittin' disaster. If you ain't praising the Most High, who is Yahweh? What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day, all night, all my life, we praising Yahweh. Come on, yeah. What's good, Yahweh? What's poppin', Yahweh? What's up, Yahweh? What's crackin', Yahweh? On my mind all day.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. I'd like to give all honor and praise to the Most High Yah for bringing us through another week to this sixth evening, right before we go into the Shabbat day. I praise the Holy One of Israel for his mercy. For his mercy endure forever. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael, bringing you another program of nothing but the truth. And it is true that all you're going to get is the truth. But for some strange reason, if anything that I'm telling you, teaching you, showing you, that seem a little suspicious, well, give me a call and we will discuss it. Let me thank all my beautiful brothers and sisters that's tuning in by the way of internet, and that is also tuning in by the way of Blog Talk. Truly, I know the only reason that you're listening, it is because of your fear toward Elohim. So I praise the mighty Yah for your presence. I've been away a couple of weeks, and so I will go back to where I left off at because I was asked a couple of questions, and I want to make sure that we address the questions that we are asked. But before I do that and before I get into my program this evening or tonight, I want to remind everyone that if you plan on being at our upcoming conference, which will be held in Atlanta, Georgia, November the 24th through the 27th, we got the rooms extended, the dates extended, as well as we added more rooms because we filled up all the rooms in our block. So you have until next week, next Thursday, I think the date is. Let me make sure of that. That is correct. You have until next Thursday to make your reservations. We'll be at the Homewood Suites in Atlanta, Georgia, by the airport. And all you have to do is give them the House of Israel or HOY code to make your reservation. Atlanta, Georgia has a lot of hotels. Many of them are expensive, so you want to try to get this deal. Or you can go to our website. And we have a link on our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org. And you can make your reservation through our link to the hotel. Again, we'll be dealing with why hold ye between two opinions. Surely, we got one Elohim, one Father, one law, it seems to reason that we should not have all these various different opinions as we do. And maybe the only reason why we have these various different opinions is because we just refuse to humble ourselves. And we refuse to sit down at the table of brotherhood to discuss these different opinions. And maybe if we have the courage and the love for one another, maybe we will get more done than you believe. We also will be discussing, even if we have two opinions, we still don't have to hate or slander or tale bear against one another. We don't have to lie, deceive, anyone. Or so discord, just to have people follow us. This is not the way of the Most High. And if you had not considered these things, this is the time that you want to consider. Because truly, we are in the last days. And there will be things that will come upon the world as well as our people in the nearest of future. And when it comes, you must ask yourself, did you humble yourself? Did you seek meekness? Were you seeking righteousness? Were you seeking to gather yourselves together as the scripture tells his remnant to do. The scripture said, gather my saints together, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So when you hear me on the airways, whether it's on a Sabbath day or not, my whole goal and aspirations, my vision, is the vision that the Creator gave the former prophets. And the vision the Creator gave the former prophets is that we come together, we accept our punishment, we ask for forgiveness, we seek the Most High, and we prepare ourselves to leave spiritually as well as physically in the land of our enemies. So we don't have time to fight with one another, slander one another, sow discord against one another, separate from one another. The time that we're in is a very precious time, a time that the Almighty is recording and watching all of us to see if we have the heart and the mind to fulfill his heart's desire. So it's up to you. And we will be discussing these things in Atlanta, Georgia. So we pray that you are able to gather with us, because every voice matters. So make your reservations. You have until next week, next Thursday at midnight. And they got some great rooms, great hotel. And we're going to have a great time. We also will be joining many of our brothers and sisters who will be a part of the play, The Elohim, We Forgot, Deuteronomy 28. And it is true. As a people, we have forgotten our Elohim. And so, one of our beloved sisters of the house of Israel was inspired to write this play. And not only she wrote it, but she is the producer. And we'll also be, this play will also be entering or viewing, going on during the time of our conference. So we're looking forward to it. I read the script, and I can't wait to see the play. So I'm praying that you can join us to support all these endeavors. All right, I've been gone a couple weeks, so I just want to catch you all back up to where I left off. I was asked a question, two questions as a matter of fact, on the book of Daniel. One of the questions I was asked in the book of Daniel is in Daniel, the 9th chapter. Of course, I get this question a lot, so I'm assuming that this person we had not met, or it's the first time he's listening. I don't know if he's listening tonight, but he asked this question in Daniel, the 9th chapter, and he wanted to know about the 25th and the 26th verse, and particularly the 26th verse. But I'll read the 25th and 26th verse, and this is what it says in Daniel, the 9th chapter. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So he wanted to know about those two verses. Now, typically speaking, oftentimes when I'm getting questions on this particular chapter, is generally concerning who is this Messiah that is speaking of, and who is this Messiah that is talked about being cut off, but not for himself. So we'll discuss that. I don't know. I was just asked a question, but because I'm asked this oftentimes, typically I generally know the thoughts of the individuals that ask this question concerning this chapter, but I'm assume that I don't know. So I would address it as if I don't know what they believe and what they think this means. The other question I was asked is in Daniel, the 7th chapter. In Daniel, the 7th chapter, I was asked about the 14th verse, and this is what it says. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So once again, let's kind of go along with the thought pattern that's in Daniel, the 9th chapter. But little do people know, these are two different things altogether. And let me share what these things mean and what they're talking about. And we'll deal with Daniel, the 9th chapter, first. And I'll read Daniel the 9th chapter again. Now, when studying the scriptures, there's three things that everyone should know or must learn in studying the scriptures. The scriptures is not like any other book. Definitely is not some religious books like all the other religious books, because the scriptures is the word of Yah. It is the word of the Most High. It is the true and living words of the true and living Creator. And these are the three things that everyone must know about the Most High concerning his words. Number one, you have to know the laws of the Most High. And oftentimes when people read the creator word, if you find anything that you believe that will contradict his word, you know that the thing that you believe is false, because it contradicts the word of Yah. And most people are not strong enough to just say, this is what the word says, and so therefore what I believe, it must be wrong. And a lot of people don't want to do that. The Almighty told us not to add to his word, and he told us not to take away from his word. And I'll show you that. The second thing we have to know concerning the creator's word, we must know prophecy. And a lot of people, even though a lot of people believe they know the laws of the Most High, they know what they've been taught. They know what they think they're reading. But when you begin to question people on the law, you will see that they lack understanding. So they can go to the book and show you where it says thou shalt not murder or thou shalt not steal. But then when you ask them questions on concerning, is this murder? Is this stealing? Is this committing adultery? Is this doing this? Is that? Then you will see that they lack understanding. And then the third thing that everyone must know concerning the word of the Most High is history. History is very important. History, it links us to the past. And so learning history is very, very, very important, because then you will have perspective of dates and times. And when reading the book of Daniel, a lot of people don't know the history and don't understand the prophecy, and it all starts and stems from the law. So let me speed up a little bit and share some of these things with you. First thing you want to recognize when it comes to the law, if you believe in a Messiah, that you were told that this Messiah died for your sins, this Messiah is some savior for the world and for the children of Israel. As a result of dying for your sin, he became your savior. If you were told this man that was born of a virgin is somehow the Most High, and he's also called the Messiah, or how many would say HaMashiach, which all it means is the Messiah, or the anointed, then you know that this teaching is false. Now, how do I know this teaching is false? Because all those things totally contradict the Creator's word. 100% in contradiction of his word. Well, let me show you real quick. First place I want you to read is in the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter. And then we're going to break down and show you what this Daniel actually is talking about. And watch what it says in Deuteronomy 24 and 16. The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers. Every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Now, this is totally contradicts. This is the law. And this totally contradicts anyone who teach and believe that Christ or anyone was put to death for the sins of another. Because every man shall be put to death for his own sin. Also, look in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter. Because the Creator said, let every matter be established by the mouth of two or more witnesses. Furthermore, in Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, the 20th verse, it says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Why? Because every man must be put to death for his own sin. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, said Yah, Elohim, and not that he should return from his ways and live? In other words, as an Israelite, all we have to do is turn back and do what's right in the eyes of the Most High. In other words, if we wicked, we don't have to cut no goat's neck. We don't have to burn no bullock. We don't have to kill no goat. Nor do we have to have a man die for us, because he came anyway. The way that we get back to the Most High after sinning is stop sinning and return unto him, and he shall return unto us. This is it. Furthermore, the Creator lets us know in the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Let us turn there. So not only this Messiah cannot die for you, but the Creator said in Isaiah 43:10, ye are my witnesses, said Yah, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no Elohim form, neither shall there be after me. I am Yahweh, and beside me there is no Savior. So the Creator lets us know there's no Savior other than him. So we can't look for no Messiah to save us. He reiterated this also in Isaiah 45, so that we will have two or more witnesses. Of course, I'm going to show you many more than this. But for the sake of time, I just want you to see these things. Just in case this is what you believe. In the book of Isaiah 45, verse 21, it says, tell you, bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together. Who have declared this from ancient time? Who have told it from that time? Have not I, Yah? And there's no Elohim else beside me, a just Elohim and a Savior. There's none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am Elohim, and there is none else. So there is no Messiah that exists, that have existed, that will exist, that can save you, and that can die for your sins. And so you can understand that not only they cannot nor can a goat, a bullock, a ram, sheep, any of these things. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. And yes, the Almighty often seeing judges. In some scripture, they even say saviors to save you. But none of these judges and so-called saviors are people that will die for another man's sin. And this is the thing that we have to understand. In the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, this is what it says in the 21st verse. Thus said Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifice. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. So know the Creator is not commanding our people or ever commanded our people to bring him burnt offerings and sacrifices. That is not the way of Yah. So, if what I'm saying is true, then what do the book of Daniel mean? What is the book of Daniel talking about concerning this Messiah, the Prince? And I'll read it again. I'll start at the 24th verse this time. 70 weeks are determined upon our people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall even in troubled times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Well, this particular prophecy is speaking of a couple different things. But all these things have nothing, none of these things have anything to do with the last days, nor do they have anything to do with the coming of the so-called Messiah, the New Testament. Nothing at all. These 70 weeks are just 70 years. And this prophecy that Daniel actually asks to get the understanding of was concerning their 70-year captivity in Babylon. And Daniel wanted to know when this will come to an end. And how would he know that it will be accomplished? And what sign will he see that this will be accomplished? And an angel showed him and told him and gave him the understanding of this vision. And this vision is not hard to understand when you understand the law, when you understand prophecy, and when you understand history. And so let's go back in history a little bit so you can see. Most people don't realize this, but the way they got the book of Daniel is totally out of order. It shouldn't be where it is. I understand why they have it here. But in the book of Daniel, concerning this prophecy, let me first take you to 2 Chronicles. Because this prophecy is not really hard to understand. 2 Chronicles 36. But it became difficult because many of our people have been taught by enemies. And therefore, the understanding that they have is the understanding that was passed down from our enemies. And you don't have to feel bad about it because we all inherited lies from our enemies. But the Creator said he will make the crooked things straight. And this is what we're going to do. 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, just show you where this commandment came from to restore Jerusalem. Who was this? The word Messiah. You only see this word Messiah in the book of Daniel because Daniel was written in Aramaic, whereas a lot of the other scriptures was written in the ancient Hebrew language. Well, most of it was written in Aramaic. So it reads a little bit different than some of the other books. But with that said, you won't find the word Messiah in none of these other books, only in the book of Daniel. And the word Messiah, all it means is anointed. It's not the name of a person. And look what it says in 2 Chronicles 36. And we're going to get right to it. In the 36 verse 21. Let's start at 20 so you can understand this. It says, "And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon." That's where Daniel was, in Babylon, "where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yah by the mouth of Jeremiah," because Jeremiah prophesied this captivity, "until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. Now, isn't this what the book of Daniel actually said the time will be? 70 years. "Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yah spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. And Yah stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus said Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have Yah Elohim of heaven given me." And watch what he say. "And he charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Yehuda, who is there among you of all his people, Yah his Elohim, be with him and let him go up. And why? Because this Cyrus, who was the prince at the time that Daniel foretold this prophecy, well, he wasn't the prince at that time, but when he was being revealed the prophecy, this is what he was talking about. This Messiah the Prince, which just means the anointed prince. Look in the book of Ezra, the first chapter, first verse. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Yah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, Yah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it in writing. And it says the same exact thing that it said in 2 Chronicles, because this man Cyrus was charged to rebuild Jerusalem. And the Almighty said it was going to be done in troublous times, but it was going to be done. Look in the book of Ezra, the fifth chapter, and you notice you're going to keep seeing a consistent theme when it comes to this Cyrus. Ezra, the fifth chapter, the 13th verse. But in the first year of Cyrus, king of Babylon, the same king Cyrus made a decree to build this house of Elohim. That's what the whole prophecy of Daniel is speaking about. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of Elohim, which Nebuchadnezzar took out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, whom he had made governor. And he said unto him, take these vessels, go carry them in a temple that is in Jerusalem, and let the house of Elohim be built in its place. Then came the same Sheshbazzar and laid the foundation of the house of Elohim, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, have it been in building, and yet it is not finished, because it was going to be done in troublous times. Now, therefore, if it seem good to the king, let there be search made in the king's treasure house, which is there at Babylon, whether it be so that a decree was made of Cyrus the king to build the house of Elohim at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Because they questioned the fact that Cyrus had wrote this, and so they had to go find proof of this writing. And of course, they did. And then it lets you know in Ezra the sixth chapter, and I'm going to jump right to it. In the 14th verse, it says, and the elders of the Yehudites built, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the Elohim of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus, and Darius, and Artaxerxes, king of Persia, because they didn't finish building during the time of Cyrus. So the other kings had to search for the writing of Cyrus to make sure this was done, because the Almighty has sent this prophecy through the prophet Daniel. And just to show you that this Cyrus was Yah's anointed, he was the anointed prince that gave and wrote the decree. Look what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 44th chapter. Now watch what it says. Now Cyrus was not an Israelite. He was the prince of Persia. And this is what it says. Isaiah 44, verse 28. It says, well, let's start at, 28th verse. That said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, that shall be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. And then we continue on in Isaiah 45 and 1. Thus says Yah to his anointed. And what do the word anointed mean? It means Mashiach. Mashiach just means anointed. Thus said Yah to his anointed, Cyrus, whose right hand I have upholden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levy gates, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. So we're just letting you know, the Almighty, oftentimes when people believe certain things, they will go to various places that seem not to be a name there. And so they can say, well, it's this person, it's that person. But no, Yah, let us know who this prince was, who he anointed to do his pleasure. And this was Cyrus. And then the Almighty sent another prince that would destroy everything and destroy the whole temple, the altar, and took our people out of the land until this very day. And we're going to talk about that and let you know who that prince was. Furthermore, it was also asked about Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse. And just a recap on Daniel, the 9th chapter, there was only one prophesied to rebuild Jerusalem, and that was Cyrus. Cyrus wrote the decree, and the foundation was laid in his first year. And not only did they did it was decreed and wrote by Cyrus, but the Almighty called him his anointed, his shepherd that will do his pleasure. It wasn't finished during his time because of the troublous times that they were in, but it was eventually finished because they hid that writing from Yah's anointed, Cyrus. And then in Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not which shall not be destroyed. And yet this is another scripture that seemed not to have a name attached to it. So a lot of people who don't know the laws, and they don't know prophecy, nor do they understand history, when you don't know those things, you would think this is talking about an individual. But it is not. And I'll let you know who this is speaking of. But if it was speaking of an individual, there's only one individual that the Creator said we will serve, other than Him. And I'm about to give you the name of that individual that the Creator said we will serve other than Him. And let me show you who this individual is. Even though Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, is not talking about an individual. But if it was, this is the individual in the book of Hosea. You turn there. Hosea, the 3rd chapter. And let's see who this individual is. Since it didn't mention a name in Daniel, it will mention a name in Hosea. And watch what it says. Hosea, the 3rd chapter, the 4th verse. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. And we don't have a king. Without a prince, we don't have a prince. And without sacrifice, and we have no sacrifice. Whether it's Christ or goat, a lamb, or any sacrifice at all, we don't have a sacrifice. Just like we don't have a king, just like we don't have a prince. And not only that, it says, we will also be without an image, an ephod, or a terebinth. In other words, these are all the things that denote us as a people, as a nation of people. We have nothing that we can point to and say, look, there's our king. I told you we were a nation of people. Look, this was our flag. This was our pole. This is our image. This is what makes us a nation. We have nothing that denotes us as a people at this time. And the 5th verse says, afterwards, though, after we abide all these days without these things, these centuries, these years, shall the children of Israel return. Return where? It's going to tell you. Return and see Yah, their Elohim, and David, their king, and shall fear Yah and his goodness in the last days. So the only one that the scriptures tell us that we're going to seek is the Most High and David, not these other people that are people believe in and teach it, even though there's nowhere in the Creator's word at all. These names have never, ever came out of the Most High mouth, but yet they're coming out of the mouth of our people. And why? Why hold you between two opinions? Believe in Yah. Yah told you who we're going to see. And not only did he tell you who we're going to see, he also told you who we will serve. Go to the book of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Jeremiah 30. And watch what it says. Who we're going to serve in the last days. Jeremiah 30. And we're going to start reading the 7th verse. At last, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yah, folks, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yah. Who are we going to serve? Yah, the Elohim. And who? David, their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And yes, David has to be raised up because at this time, during the time of Jeremiah, when he prophesied this thing, David had been long gone, had died. So the only way David can be king, the only way David can be served, the only way David can be sought after if he's raised up. And a lot of people ask me, well, how's he going to be raised up? Is he going to be raised up from the grave? Is he going to be raised up through the seed of Israel? How will he be raised? Well, the Creator never said how he will raise him, but he will. We have scriptures that have us to believe certain things, but there's no silver bullet on how he was going to be raised. So before you can get to how he will be raised, you first got to believe that he's going to be raised. Now, will he be raised to die for your sins? No, because no man can die for your sins. Will he be raised to be your Savior? No, because Yah is your Savior. Jesus is going to be king. He's going to be prince. He's going to be the one shepherd. But even though he's going to be these things, Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, is not talking about David. If you want to know who Daniel, the 7th chapter, is speaking about, and let me read it again. Daniel, the 7th chapter, the 14th verse says, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Well, let me tell you who this is speaking about. This is speaking about Israel, the nation of Israel. The only kingdom that the Creator said all people, all nations will have to serve. And let me show you this in the book of Isaiah and show you if they don't serve, what will happen. And I know because it said him, it sounds like it's talking about an individual. But I want you to see. That's why I said you have to know the law. You have to know prophecy. You have to know history. Because if you know prophecy, you will know that this is the language of the prophets. Even when they're talking about an a nation of people, it sounds like they're talking about an individual. And I'm going to show you this so you can understand what I'm saying. And this is what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 60th chapter. For precept must be upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here little and there little. And watch what this says. In the book of Isaiah 60, and I'm going to get right to it, it says in the 12th verse, it says, for the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. Serve who? Serve Israel. This whole book is talking about Israel. Israel is this Messiah or Masonic nation or anointed nations that all the people have to serve them. And let me show you in the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter. Because then somebody go to Isaiah 53 and say, look what it says in Isaiah 53. It says, for he shall grow before him as a tender plant. Because it sounds like an individual. Surely he has borne our grief. Because it sounds like an individual. We hid as it were our faces from him. And we esteemed him not. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, 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 all over the book, him. And so it sounds like an individual. And I understand this. But the people that have been teaching our people don't have no understanding. The Creator is going to let you know who this Him is. Because there's only one Him, and watch who He is. In the book of Isaiah, the 49th chapter, because all through the scriptures, this Him is called Yah Servant. It's called a servant. All through the book of Isaiah, and all through the other books. And watch what it says in Isaiah 49. The first verse. Listen, O isles, unto me. Hearken, ye people from far. Yah have called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother He made mention of my name. Sounds like it's talking about Isaiah. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand have he hid me. And made me a polished shaft. In his quiver have he hid me. And said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. See, Israel is the Creator's servant that he's speaking about. This servant is this Him. This servant is this me. This servant is this He that all the nations, all the kingdoms, will serve. And if they don't serve, these people, this servant, which is Israel, they shall be utterly wasted. Utterly wasted. So these are some of the things that the people are not going to teach you. If you have any questions or comments on any of the things that I've showed you thus far, give me a call, 347-838-8963, and press the number 1 on your phone. And what are we discussing? We're discussing some of the questions I was asked a couple weeks ago, and I had been gone for a couple weeks, so I just wanted to address these things. It's very important for us to know prophecy. It's very important for us to know the law. And it's very important for us to know history. And we got a caller up, and let's go to one of our callers. Shalom, hey, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, my king. Praise the mighty name of Zabadia. Look at here, look at here.
Hey, praise the mighty name. How you doing?
All right, you did a wonderful job, excellent job executing both the sides with the Most High, about 9 and 7 of the chapter.
Exactly.
And I just want to add on to about the when you said about the ruler. I think after you said in verse 26 of Daniel 9:26-27,
mm-hmm.
when it says a leader in this translation, it
mm-hmm.
says, after the anointed one vanished away, the army of a leader who to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, but it will,
mm-hmm.
but it again will come through a flood desolated and decree until the end of war. During 1 week,
that's
he will make a firm company with the many. I have
mm-hmm.
done some study on that, and just to go through that is what I have learned. It was from my study was Antiochus the Fifth, who came in and did that to the end of that 27th chapter in 168 BC when the Hellenistic Jews were in that land at that time. That's all I want to share on that part. You can do more research on that. But about King Cyprus and the rest of the other thing, man, you know, that was very accurate. I just wanted to share that thought. I'm done.
Well, praise the mighty Yah, and we're going to definitely deal with that that other prince, and it's good that you even was able to note that there's two different princes altogether. One was
mm-hmm.
coming to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, and one was coming to destroy what was being built. And he came later on, and this leader, as your scripture, as your book says, in some books, it is still, some books say Messiah, but if all it is a leader or a prince that will come and destroy. And this
mm-hmm.
leader destroyed the temple for the last time. And, of course, it had not been built since that time. And we're going to share with the people who that leader is. And, of course, there's a little controversy on who that leader is. But one controversy none of us have is the fact that this leader was no Messiah of
mm-hmm.
the people at all. He was just no leader. He was just a prince. And that's what they call people. And a lot of people
right.
confused because our enemies put this word Messiah in the book. So now all our people is looking for is this Messiah to save them because that's what our enemies led them to believe, and this
mm-hmm.
is not the truth. So I appreciate you pointing that out.
Yeah, another point I wanted to make, that Antiochus, if you look it up, that was that, and they had, see, this where they had put him in the so-called Maccabees book. That's what
right.
they put him in.
So,
but
I'm
we know,
very familiar.
Said, right, we know, like you said, there was two different people right here, but it wasn't no JC. Praise Yah.
That's right. That's right. That is absolutely right. Well, praise the mighty Yah. I appreciate those words. You are absolutely correct. And this is what we want our people to know, because our people, even if you don't know who it was, you got to know it wasn't Christ at all.
That's right.
That's why you will never, ever see his name mentioned in the book at all. And if someone was that important, as he supposed to be to our people and to the world, would not the Almighty mention him at least one time? He mentioned Cyrus and called Cyrus his anointed. He called Cyrus his shepherd. And so why wouldn't he mention this other guy? And he didn't. So I just want to let the people know what was going on that. So I appreciate you, Brother Obaya.
Praise you. I appreciate you too, brother. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Again, if you have any other questions or comments on anything that we're discussing, 347-838-8963. And we're just talking about a couple questions that I was asked a couple weeks ago. We got another caller up, and we're going to go right to him. 708 area code. We just came out of Washington, D.C. Now we're in Chicago, Illinois. Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Messiah.
Shalom, shalom, my beloved brother. Messiah, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, things, you know, I always have, you know, my ups and downs. But you know what? You know, y'all picked me back up. So I'm here.
Praise Yah. Praise the mighty Yah.
Yeah, I have a question I want you to answer. And, you know, I don't want to hold you on because I know it's a lot of callers. But I want to know, the question is, a lot of people, like I said, I think I asked this long ago, but I still want to just make it clear. Is going to be David himself going to be the king sitting on the throne? Or is going to be a descendant of David that's going to be sitting on his throne? Because a lot of people have this agreement that it's not going to be David. It's going to be his children, his descendants of David is going to be sitting. They're going to be king and sitting on his throne. So I just want to want you to answer that question, Ishaya. And I'm going to just go ahead and let you go. And may Yah bless and keep you, my brother.
Praise Yah. Praise Mighty Yah. Hallelujah. And that is a beautiful question that my beloved brother asked me, and he is correct. There's a lot of controversy on whether this will be David or whether it will be just the seed of David. And all you have to know is the creator is not the author of confusion at all. Of course, many people who believe that it's the seed of David, I asked a lot of these people, well, do you believe that you will come back? Do they believe that Moses will come back? Do they believe Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will return? What about Daniel and Job? Will they return? Then if they believe they were to return, and Abraham, Isaac will return, and Daniel will return, then why is it so difficult to believe that David will return when the Creator said he would? And the Creator is not speaking in a metaphor. If he wanted to say the seed of David, he would have said the seed of David, but he did not. Let me show you this, just so you can see. And let me also let you know, David himself also knew that he will return and be king forever. David knew this, and David knew it would not be one of his sons He knew it would be him. As a matter of fact, David was so special to the Most High, it's called the throne of David. This throne has never, ever been called nothing else. It's called the throne of David. Now, why would the Almighty have a king to sit on the throne called by somebody else's name? The reason why it's called the throne of David is because David himself was prophesied to return to reclaim his throne. And let me show you this. So we can straighten out any confusion. Look in the book of Let's do Ezekiel first. In the book of Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Now, there are some Israelites who believe that you're not going to return. There's not going to be no return of nobody. In other words, if you don't get it straight in the life that you're in right now, you can forget it. This is it right here, you know. They say, well, you might come back as a butterfly or something like that, but you're not going to be returning to earth. And you're not going to be, you know, somehow coming back again and so forth and so on. And if they want to believe that, that's fine. The scriptures say otherwise. But in Ezekiel 34, getting right to it, and this is what it says. Ezekiel 34, verse 23. It says, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. That could have easily said, even the seed of David. It could have said that. But Yah didn't want you to be confused and think there's just some random phantom seed that's coming back to sit on the throne of David. No. He said, even my servant David. And then the scriptures say, he. Who's he? Well, David shall feed them. And he, who? David, shall be their shepherd. And I, Yah, will be their Elohim. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, Yah, have spoken it. Now, for those who say it's going to be David, that's what Yah spoke. And for those who say the seed of David, just show us. That's all. That's not hard to do. Just show us where it said the seed of David shall rule the earth. The seed of David shall be the shepherd. The seed of David, you only can have one shepherd anyway. Ain't that what this says? It says, and I will set up how many shepherds? One shepherd. And then furthermore, in the book of Ezekiel 37th chapter, since there's only going to be one shepherd, watch what this says in Ezekiel 37. Twenty-fourth verse, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. We already know who the one shepherd is, that's David. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And let you know how many kings there's going to be, watch the 22nd verse. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. And of course, the 24th verse says, and David, his servant, will be king over them, because there's only going to be one king, and there's only going to be one shepherd. That's it. And who did the Creator say he was going to raise up? Well, we just showed you that in the book of Jeremiah 30 chapter. He said he was going to raise David up. And what was he going to raise David up to do? We're going to read it again in Jeremiah 30, verse 8 and 9. It says this: "For it shall come to pass in that day, said Yahweh, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds. Strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve Yah their Elohim, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto thee." So they're going to serve David. He's going to be the one king. He's going to be the one shepherd. And not only that, who do you think the one anointed is? Well, let's see. In the book of Psalm 89. See, this is how the Creator destroyed any confusion at all. He destroys confusion by letting you know the overwhelming consistency of the truth. That way is no argument at all. You can't just say, well, it's talking about the seed of David, and it's only going to be one. It's only going to be one king, one shepherd. So when they say the seed of David, that's talking about, and David had many sons. Many sons. But who's going to be that one king? Who's going to be that one shepherd? Who's going to be that, the one that we serve? And according to the scriptures, it's David. Psalms 89, watch what it says. 19 verse. Then thou spake in vision to thy Holy One, and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Just one. He only chose one out of the people. He only exalted one. There's only one that is mighty. One. So we don't have to be confused about who this is. And let me show you that David knew all this thing. He knew this. This was no secret to David. And let me show you this in the book of 1 Chronicles. The 28th chapter. And watch what David said. Show you that he already knew what was happening before he died. 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, the first verse. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribe, the captains, the companies that ministered to the kingdom, to the king, of course, and the captains over the thousands, captains over the hundreds, the stewards over all the substance possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brother, and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yah and for the footstool of our Elohim, and I had made ready for the building. But Elohim said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, now watch what David said. Yah Elohim of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel for how long? Forever. For he have chosen Yehuda to be the ruler, and of the house of Yehuda, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he likened me to make me king over all Israel, and of all my sons, for Yah have given me many sons. He have chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yah over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my court, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. And watch what the Creator said. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. And we know that none of David's sons was constant in keeping the commandments of Yah. So I just want to point that out. And we're going right to another one of our callers in the 513 area code in Cincinnati, Ohio. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, beloved Maury Ashiah.
Shalom, shalom.
I want to read Hosea 4, verse 6. And it reads, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, because thou hast rejected my, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no peace to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy Elohim, and I will also forget thy children. And the reason why I brought that scripture out is that the trend that as Israel, we have been rejecting the Most High. In the time of Saul, before Saul, we as a people, we wanted to be like every other nation. Yahweh told the prophet, they didn't reject you, they rejected me. So, as you see, now that we're in Babylon, when Moray Alisa brought this out many years ago, that King David is the Messiah, people rejected that. It's because they rejected it. They don't understand what Yahweh was bringing to Moses, and they started rejecting. Not only have they rejected that, they rejected everything in life. When you reject Yah, you reject love, and you start to love hate. You start to reject life, and you start to love death. And so we as a nation, we are truly, truly, duly, truly destroyed a nation. Not just only with knowledge, just with understanding and wisdom. And you talk to our people today about certain things to eat or having certain things in your food, they say they're going to die anyway. It's that type of ignorance that it kind of makes you sad, that you understand that our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I just want to bring that out. And what you brought out today, dealing with Cyrus, I remember, I'm pretty sure you remember me telling you that when I read that, I've been people talking about Christ, Yahweh says his name, sure, he says King Cyrus. Now, nowhere in the scriptures do you see the word Christ or Yahshua. You don't see his name at all. You see Cyrus. And not only do Yahweh mention Cyrus, he mentions the other kings of Persia. So the kings of Persia are more important than Yahshua. Hallelujah.
Well, hallelujah. And you're absolutely right. And our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But in the last days, knowledge shall be increased. So keep listening, keep tuning in, for Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom, shalom.